These subjects are all very deep. You could take any of these subjects and you could study for weeks and weeks. If you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and I'm going to read 19 through 21. I'm going to start out reading in my King James Bible. And there are 9 spiritual fruit, and there are 9 spiritual gifts. Amen. And we're going to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to verse 19. And this is what the word says there. You know, Ephesians will never pass for Galatians. Now, the works of the flesh. We're all born with a sin nature. You're born with it. You're born. We're part of the fallen from Adam and Eve. We're all born with that. That doesn't intimidate God. That's what the cross and so many other things are about. How to deal with the fallen nature of man. And it says, once again, we're going to talk about the works of the flesh is what it calls it in this translation. Now, the works of the flesh, of the fallen nature, are manifest. They're made known, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Okay? Things like that. You know, most of what I can recall has been read in the list of sins starts with sexual sin. The Bible says that when you commit sexual sin with another person, you become one with that person. That's not a natural thing. That's something we don't want to do. And I think the church that's afraid to say something like that, that's a shame that we can't talk about what's real, okay? And we're not condemning anybody, but we're going to call an ace, and a spade a heart. No, we're going to call a spade, amen? Amen. I hope that's nothing politically incorrect in saying that. Okay, now I want to read the same verses. Now, this is the works. I'm going to read it in a more understandable translation, the NLT. And I'm going to start right in here somewhere. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And verse 19 says this. Listen to this translation. It's a lot easier to understand, but I cut my teeth on the King James, and I like the way it says certain things, and I love the way it's right here. We're going to open up what this is saying to us. Is that NLT up behind me? Good. We're working on making that more seeable. We're going to get a different situation. Just want you to know so it'd be easier to see. It says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. They are sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before that anyone living, everybody say living. What we have here is this. Anybody partaking continually, habitually, regularly in these sins, anybody found my place again. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living, okay, that word is very important there. You know, we're sheep. Sheep can fall into a mud hole. They can fall into something. But when you start camping out around their mud holes and stuff, that's a serious, you got to check that. You have to check that. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said this, behold, in the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God starts right now. Okay? And as you begin to walk in salvation and feed your salvation with the promises, the 7,500 promises from God, you begin to grow. If you eat the right food, you will grow. Okay, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? Will not enter the kingdom of God. Now we're going to stay here in this translation. But the Holy Spirit, okay, the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, says in the King James, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And there are nine. You'll notice them. One of them is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, don't kid yourself just because it's the last one. Boy, we need self-control from the get-go when we get saved. We need to begin to look and be aware of self-control and how to live a self-controlled life, and we need to pray to that end. And these are fruit that comes upon the born-again person that, first of all, desires and feeds on the milk of the Word, and then goes into the meat of the Word. As newborn babes, Peter said, earnestly desire the sincere, the first milk of the Word so that you might grow. Okay? There is no growth. There is no solid genuineness of salvation without knowing and doing the Word of God, the promises of God. It's a falsity. Well, I'll let my preacher, I'll let my mom do my praying for me. I had a kid in my youth group when I was in California many years ago, and he was so scared. You know, to be so mean, you know, if you're going to be that scared, you shouldn't be mean, you know. I mean, you should, and that he would call his mom to see if she was still there, because he was afraid the rapture was going to take her and he was going to be left behind. Now, that's good. He believed. Let me tell you, that's a good start for anything. I believe. How many of you believe the world is going to end? Put your hand up. If you don't, you don't. How many of you believe it could be soon? That's a good start in life. If you believe that, You understand something very important. God is not a man that he should lie. How many of you watch YouTube? Does anybody watch any YouTube? Boy, if you want to learn about end time events, go to YouTube. They're not all right, but let me tell you something. Them folks got some stuff going on about Gog, Magog, Iran, President Trump, this, that, and the other. Now, is anybody else warm in here? Is everybody great? Okay, if y'all are great, that's fine. Okay, so there we are. Nine spiritual fruit. There are nine gifts, which we will not get into, but there are nine gifts. Let's count them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I have had so much trouble in my life with not having enough self-control in my life, and it's hurt me. It's like shooting yourself in the foot if you don't have self-control. And I'll tell you what else it's like in this next verse. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to look at one verse. It's verse number 28. And I'm going to be looking in the NLT, the New Living Translation of the Bible. If you want to see what it looks like, you might want to get one. You come up here and look at it after we go here. Just one verse, Proverbs 25, verse 28, says this: a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, walls used to be very important in biblical days. Remember the walls of Jericho, for one? But to not have self-control, you open yourself up to every kind of evil work, that an attack from the devil. And who does the devil work from? He works through people, for goodness sakes. How many of you know the devil's working through some of your kinfolk? Now, somebody help me here. And some of your neighbors. And some of the people you have to work with. And some of the people you have to work for. The devil's working. And you know what? One of the most powerful strategies that we can help make to come out good on things is to continually exercise self-control. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. You know, I notice in my own life, I've got a short fuse. And if I'm not careful, anything can set me off. And so what I have to do is, you see this in Job, that the angels present themselves before God every day. You know, that we present every day. And Millie and I, we present ourselves before God every morning. And we meet with him. And we declare Jesus' last words from the cross. We say, Father in heaven, into your hands I commit my spirit, that I may be able to do thy will and not my will. And I want this so bad, Father, that I fully, if this is my last day on earth, I'm good with that, as long as you are. But Father, if you want me to live longer, I want you to know that what you put in me, I am not afraid of the devil. Make my day, devil, any day, any time. I'll either cast out a devil or lead somebody to Jesus. I'm looking for somebody to pray for, and I find people every day that want prayer. And I'm very concerned about, and I try not to judge, people that, oh, I'm good, everything's fine. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Sure it is. Huh? Come on now. How many of you regularly face challenges? And some of them, you never saw them coming. They just come up, a spark, it's like a spark of something can just come all of a sudden with somebody that you love or somebody that you hate. One of your children. One of your relatives. One of your neighbors. How many of you have people that you know that you know, you're going to have to see? You don't see them every day, but you know you're going to see them in the next day or two or something, and it just grieves you, and you agonize over it. Anybody beside me? Gosh almighty. It may be a boss. It may be just somebody that just always something. I know a great prayer. I pray it a lot. I pray it with meaning because I need it. You know, that song, Lean on Me, When You're Not Strong, that's Jesus singing to me. That's who I want to lean on. And you know what? Things are so different than just 50 years ago in my life. People are different. Everything's different. I don't want to leave my house or answer my telephone without being prepared. Now, one of the best places I know, and if you can get your heart wrapped around these words in the Psalms, Psalm 19 and verse 14, it's a prayer. It's a prayer for all of us. One of the great prayers. That's the broken down walls. Can you guys get that other one up? Is it already up? Didn't we just read that? I need Psalm 19. Did you put it up now? Okay. Now see? Now I can't be mean to those people up there. I love those people up there. You understand? Let me tell you, that kid up there in the middle, that little girl up there, that is the sharpest young kid. I can give her something to do, and she'll get it done now. And she'll probably know a better way to do it. And you know what? You could trust her to drive with your three-week-old baby, and she'd get him to his destination. She is a very good driver, Nicole. She really is. But I want you to look at this. The first word here, I think, is that's the wrong one. Psalm 19, verse. Thank you. I'm good with it. Don't worry about it. Everything's cool. And I like this first word, may. This is, make no mistake, this is a prayer. This is a prayer from the heart of a prayer warrior, from the heart of a man that knew what it was like to be on the line, from the second king of Israel. The King James says, let. That's beautiful, let. This version says, may, O Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations, I think it says meditations in the let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. When we're talking, you know, what you think about, Kelly mentioned this Sunday, you get to thinking about telling somebody off. That's the wrong meditation to go on. That ain't God leading you. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Spirit. Be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And when you do that, and I'm catching myself more because I'm asking God, help me. This is a problem I have. This is a terrible problem. I'll start fights where there wasn't none, with people that I never met, over things that never will matter. And you can win a lot of arguments and just lose things, lose people. And they go, oh my God, here this person comes again. But may the words of my mouth and the things that I think about be what? Be pleasing to you. The King James says, be acceptable in your sight. You know what? Do you know those things that we trip on in our mind that are not acceptable to God? They're not, God doesn't like them. God is not pleased with them. And he knows if you don't get a hold of that, sin is going to start. Something bad is you're going to do or say something bad. And all you need to do bad and to do wrong, a good start is what you think about and what you say. Even if you're only saying it in your car to yourself, we have to catch these things. And we can't be afraid of these things. And we're all in this together. And some people are stronger in some areas than others. But all of us, young people, never say, well, I can't help who I fall in love with. That's the next accident waiting to happen. I'm just falling in my heart. Oh, man, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. Not if you want to be a believer, for goodness sake. For goodness sake. As a pastor, spends a lot of their time dealing with stuff like that, trying to help people. And a lot of times we're hurt because we see people hurt. Nobody trained them. Nobody asked them. You know what? I'm just reasoning with everybody in here. Some of you, you're in between some of you are young, you've never been married. I would, look here, the times, the way they are, I would not go on a date with somebody that's not a believer. My wife was the most precious person, straight A student, but she wasn't raised in church and they did not claim Christianity. I said, you want a date? She goes, yeah. I said, well, let's go to church. And we went to church all the time. And one day, I saw my beautiful wife. The Holy Ghost came on. I didn't know what it was. I was going to Calvary Community Church on the east side of San Jose, California. Church between 30 and 300 and 500 people. Pastor Jerry Fry. His associate came here some years ago, and Millie and I, from that church, we renewed our vows right over there. But I was in there, and I was just newly saved in my mind. I was having problems with my mind because of too many acid trips. In my mind, at times, I didn't know what was real. I could hear voices, and I was just having trouble. And I'll tell you, I would sit in the back of that church, all the way in the back. And I saw something I couldn't understand. I was in there, and we'd start singing worship songs. All of a sudden, there would be something, and it looked like heat waves on the pavement on a hot day. You ever see that? It was going like that. I said, I'm still tripping. God, deliver me from all that junk I took. And it would... it would start to come down the aisle. And it was a long aisle. This is nothing compared. And boy, I'll tell you what. I'd get out of there. I didn't know what that was. And I kept coming to church, though. But not only did I sit in the back, but I sat by one of the doors. So there was no chance of me being cornered in there. I didn't know what that was. One day, I don't know why, I said, I'm staying. And I'm telling you, that got all over me. All I could feel is waves of that cleansing power. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully resting in his faith this hour? And I came out of there. I didn't know what it was, but I was never afraid of it again. And I got to watching Millie. And I don't know how long we went. One day that was coming down. I didn't tell her it was coming. I just moved away from her a little bit. And that Holy Ghost hit her. And she surrendered to God right there. One of the most unique, kindest people met Jesus. I said, Jesus, this is Millie. Millie, this is Jesus. I said, hon, that was so good. You know what she told me? Shut up. Shut up. I said, okay. Now, church, let's go to that last place in James. And we're going to take communion. And I just, you know, oh, this is just the taste of what this subject. So you've got to have self-control. You got to be, you just got to have it. Okay. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you work on those three things, you are working on your flesh. You're getting it under control. The Bible says to crucify that flesh. Let me read the rest of this here. Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God that God desires. Being angry about something, say, I'm doing it because God made me. No, God didn't make you do that. Nope. Probably not. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Now listen to me. The word has the power to save your soul. Thank you for coming. Thank you for hearing. Let's take a moment, either at the altar, make an altar, or if you can't do either one, bow your head, whatever you're comfortable with. This is open communion. If you want to take communion with us, if you